Paloma, Maddie, and Davey, and we are here for our last interview of 2007. Imagine that, with the wonderful and talented
Cliff Scurlock of the Flaming Lips.
Cliff, what do you think of electric toothbrushes?
I've never used one. It seems to me that electricity and water shouldn't mix. But I guess they're battery-powered, so it's a bit of a, you know, not really electric. I don't know. I suppose if you have a broken wrist, they'd come in handy. But seeing as my wrists have never been broken, I like the old just, you know.
How would you play drums if your wrists were broken?
Not very well.
So you guys are preparing for your big New Year's Eve blowout. So how have you spent your morning so far?
Well, went over to Wayne's and we loaded out all of the gear and we brought it here and we set it up. That's been my morning.
If you own a piece of land, do you own it all the way to the bottom of the earth?
To the center of the earth?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it would depend on if the land I owned was an Indian burial ground. But to me, the not to get too hippy-dippy-ish, but the concept of owning land just does seem bizarre to me, yet I do hope at some point to own some land. So I'm a mass of contradictions, I suppose.
I'd kind of like to own a building that's on some land that I could live in. That'd be nice.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I'd like to have, you know, a house, but, you know, it'd be nice to have some, you know, some property to, you know, have, you know, dogs to run around in or kids to run around in or... You know, be able to just not have neighbors. So if it's 4 a.m. and man, I want to play some drums, I can go do that because I certainly can't where I live at now.
Thanks for your honesty, Cliff. Quick question for you. So, 2007's wrapping up, in 2008's around the corner. Is there anything that you would like to leave behind for 2007?
I would love to leave my anxiety problems behind in 2007. However, I feel that they will probably follow me into 2008.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Other than that, I'd love to leave, I suppose some of my moodiness issues that, yeah, I'm pretty moody and I don't always appreciate that. I'm getting better at identifying it though, so if I get, you know, in a bad mood for no reason, I'm getting better at identifying, like, now there's nothing legit going on here, so don't go yelling at somebody, because it's not their fault. It's just your brain being weird again.
But that's what makes you a good drummer.
I don't know about that.
You gotta be kind of moody, don't you think?
You can get all the anger out.
See, for me, like, if I'm angry, then I find it hard to really focus and...
I see.
And actually, you know, be... I mean, I suppose, yeah, for just, you know, pounding on something, it can be fun. But as far as trying to be, you know, musical in any way, it's a little difficult.
Technically, how do you prepare for a show, concert, or otherwise?
I don't have, you know, rituals of, you know, like 50 push-ups or meditation or anything like that. I mean, I love playing, so I'm generally, you know, setting the drums up, and it's like, oh, cool, I get to play some drums.
I know a lot of fans know this story and know how you got mixed up with the Lips, but I think it's pretty cool how you got mixed up with the Lips, so would you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, Trent Bell, who used to run sound for the Lips, is one of my dearest friends, and, you know, when Ronald left the Lips in 96, they toured, they did, you know, the Boombox Experiments and Parking Lot Experiments, but they hadn't played as, you know, like a rock band in several years. And in March of 99, they were playing a couple shows at South by Southwest, and they did a warm-up show in Dallas, and so there was no way that I was going to miss that. And so, you know, I live in Lawrence, Kansas, and, you know, Dallas is about, you know, 3 hours from here, and so I decided I'd drive down the night before, go stay with Trent, and then drive the rest of the way. And then when I got to Trent's, he said that the Lips were going to come pick him up at noon, but sound check wasn't actually until 6, so how about I give him a ride? Oh, okay, sure. And so we beat the Lips, and they didn't show up until about 7:30, and doors were at 9. And so they got there, and everything was just kind of frantic. So I just kind of jumped in and helped them load in and helped them kind of set up stuff. And then it was the first headphone concert, and all these, you know, they had boxes of the receivers and boxes of the headphones and then boxes of the batteries, and they hadn't been assembled yet. So I helped Michelle, you know, assemble some of those. And then at the end of the night, just stuck around to help clean up and just asked Wayne, you know, hey, can you use some help with these South by Southwest shows? Because I'd really like to see him. He said, sure. So I went and did those. And then at the end of that, I gave him my number, said, if you ever need anything, give me a call. A couple months later, he called, hey, we're going on tour. Do you want to go with us? Like, yeah. And so I did, I guess June of 99 was the first tour I did with them. I guess it was August of 2002, getting ready to go do rehearsals with Beck, where, you know, the Flaming Lips were Beck's backing band. And Wayne, you know, Beck's a hard guy to nail down about anything, really. And so, you know, Wayne was trying to talk to him about logistics, and then finally got, you know, it's like, well, what about a drummer? And Beck said, well, I thought you guys had a drummer. And I said, well, yeah, but he doesn't play drums live. He plays his guitars and keyboards. And Beck said, oh, so Wayne called me. I was going to go to L.A. with him anyway for the rehearsals, just, you know, in case they needed whatever, you know, somebody to go get dinner. And so Wayne called. He was like, hey, you're a drummer, right? I'm like, yeah. Well, why don't you bring your drums? We might need someone. I'm like, all right. So we get up there, and I just started rehearsing with them because there was nobody else. And about a week into the rehearsals, Beck brought some drummers in to try out, and he didn't actually show up for the tryouts. It was just, you know, the Lips and these drummers. And later on that day, Beck came in to, you know, talk about what drummer they wanted, and Wayne just said, well, we'd just prefer to use Cliff. We've already spent a week practicing, so he knows a bunch of the songs. And so the night of the first show of the tour, it was about 20 minutes before the Lips were getting ready to go on, because it was, you know, set up, the Lips would be the opening band and then would be Beck's backing band. And I was sitting there, you know, I was standing there off to the side of the stage with Wayne, just watching people file in, and it hit me, like, wow, I'm doing my first tour where I'm getting paid to play drums. I mean, I've, you know, been in a bunch of bands and done tours, but we never really made any money. And so I just started, like, kind of, I got emotional and started gushing at Wayne's. Man, thank you so much. Oh my God, I love that. And then Wayne said, yeah, you know, we ought to have you play with us sometime. Like, yeah, I'd love to. Like, well, all right. We're on in 20 minutes. Like, oh, you don't want to practice first? Nah, you'll be fine. If you start messing up, just drop out. We got it. You know, all the drums were still on tape at that point. So, you know, it's just like, if you, you know, get lost, just drop out. Like, all right. So, yeah, they're still stuck with me. Yeah, I got really lucky, that's for sure.
So how did you get into playing the drums?
I played, my mom was a really great musician. And so when I was 3, I started taking guitar lessons, and then I took piano lessons for a little bit. And then when I was 6 or 7, the Kids Are All Right played at the local drive-in in Topeka, and she took me to see that. And seeing Keith Moon, like, ooh, that's the instrument I want to play. I want to play the drums.
That's a great story.
What other jobs have you had?
Oh, man. I've, you know, spent many years working in kitchens as a cook and a dishwasher. Obviously, you know, roadie for the Lips, and I roadied for a couple other bands. Roadied for this band called the Get Up Kids, and I tour managed this band called Shotzi for a while. For a year and a half, I was a babysitter of this girl. She was 6 months old when I started, and then when she was 2, the band I was in at the time was starting to tour a bunch, and so her parents enrolled her in, like, preschool.
Wow. You still know this girl?
Yeah, she's yeah, she's 14 now, and you know, really in a very rebellious phase, and you know, it's hard for me to kind of reconcile this sweet little girl with, yeah, this rebellious kind of, you know, I kind of fallen into like a wannabe gangsta-ish sort of clique, you know, and listening to a bunch of hip hop. I was like, man, what the fuck? Like, you used to, you know, because when she used to love the Flaming Lips, and, you know, we'd listen to Transmissions a lot, and, you know, she, you know, before she could really talk that well, she could kind of sing "She Don't Use Jelly." I mean, she'd obviously not enunciate all the words properly, but she'd get the melodies and the basic sort of sounds of the syllables and stuff. And, you know, now the Flaming Lips are, that's old people music. I'm not into that anymore. Like,
is that old people music, Maddie?
No.
But I, you know, it's weird seeing that. Just I can only imagine how, you know, parents must feel to, you know, have their sweet little kid, and then they, you know, grow up and rebel and go something. Well, because her, you know, her parents were both punk rockers, so there was no way that she could rebel by going into, you know, sort of a punk rock thing.
So what was the last record you listened to?
Actually, this morning, I'm driving to Wayne's, and then back here, I listened to most of "There's a Riot Going On" by Sly and the Family Stone.
Nice.
Been just loving that record lately.
Are there any instruments that you can't play that you'd like to learn?
Yeah, most of them.
Most of them. Like what? What in particular stands out?
Well, I mean, I'd really like to. I mean, when I started playing the drums, I just really just took to the drums, and, you know, so now I don't remember the names of chords on the guitar. Like, I still remember a couple of the chords, but I don't know which ones I'm playing. And so I'd love to be able to, you know, play guitar or keyboards or just, I mean, anything. I'd love to be, you know, a Stephen Droz kind of person that, you know, throw an instrument at them and they'll pick it up and make the most awesome music you've ever heard.
And what was the first record that you consciously walked into a store and bought for yourself?
The first one I remember buying is the Clash "London Calling." But I mean, before that, I was into Kiss and, you know, Grand Funk and Led Zeppelin. But people around me would have those records, and so I would, you know, get them bestowed upon me, because usually a lot of times I'd just become obsessed with somebody else's copy of it, and they'd just give it to me to, you know, just like, okay, fine, I'm tired of hearing that record, you take it home with you. And so, but the London Calling was the first one that I wanted that nobody else around me had, and so I had to go get it.
What's the weirdest or funniest thing that's happened to you on stage?
Off the top of my head, I don't know why this just popped into my mind, but we were in Cologne, Germany in 2003, and it was like a smaller stage. And when I first started playing with them, it was right about, they did one tour for Yoshimi before I started playing with them, and Steven had started playing drums on a couple of songs again, and so he had the drums set up right up the front with the other guys, so he could just, you know, because like on "Spoonful Weighs a Ton," he'd get up and play like the keyboard part and then jump behind the drums for, you know, the da-da-da-da bum bit. And so at first I was just, you know, just threw me up on stage where, you know, so the drums were right up front. We were in Germany, and Wayne had the swinging light going with the tassels on the front of it, and it actually somehow got wrapped around both of my drumsticks and yanked them out of my hand. And for, I was so stunned that for about 2 or 3 bars of the song, I just was frozen. You know, what just happened? And I was like, oh, yeah, I need to play. And I grabbed more sticks and joined in. But it kind of brought the song almost to a crashing halt, because then suddenly there's just no drums and everybody's like looking at me. And like, but I'm sure that's not the weirdest, but that's just the first one that popped into my mind.
If there's a true in this world that you would like to make false, what would it be?
George Bush is our president. That's something that I really wish weren't true.
No argument there from us.
Yeah, probably not from many people, seeing his approval ratings as of late.
Excellent.
Do you sing in the shower?
Only if I'm absolutely certain that none of my roommates are home, which is pretty rare.
Excellent.
But occasionally, you know, they'll be gone and I'll be taking a shower and like, yeah, I'm out, bust out of tune. Usually my place to sing is in the car.
Mm-hmm. What do you usually sing in the car?
Just kind of whatever I'm listening to. Like today I was trying to sing along to some Sly and the Family Stone and was doing a very poor job of it.
But what's appealing about Hello Kitty then?
There's something just aesthetically pleasing about it, and it's, I don't know why I've taken to Hello Kitty. I've never seen a cartoon, I've never, you know, but there's just something I've always, I mean, I love cats, they're, you know, my favorite animal, I guess, so I'm sure that ties into it somehow, but I don't know, it's just something that I saw Hello Kitty, it's like, that's really cute, oh, that's so, you know.
Could you tell us your favorite meal?
My favorite
meal? Yeah.
That would be, man, that's tough. Like a toss-up between like sushi or chicken fried steak, I think.
Wow. Excellent.
Awesome.
Man.
Those are, you know.
All right, well, the grand finale. You have to do this. Do you like my backpack, by the way?
I do.
Is that
actually
not awesome? I see you looking at that.
I was just checking.
It's old and dirty. It's traveled. I bought it to go to London, and it's Hello Kitty. Yeah. But anyway, it's kind of got a cool, like, old English Hello Kitty ghetto looking, yeah. All blingy and stuff. Yeah, I had to have it. I got it at Target. So if you want one, you can go to Target and get one.
Nice.
Just so you know.
Crazy Hello Kitty stuff.
Yeah.
They, you know, like, Wayne and Michelle, you know, have a Hello Kitty toaster where it'll actually, when the bread comes out, it's got a little Hello Kitty on it. And
I've got the coffee maker.
I have it
in my office. It's cute.
Nice. They haven't got one of those. They do have a Hello Kitty jam box that, you know, they listen to NPR on every morning when they're having their coffee. So I should get them a Hello Kitty coffee maker so they could have Hello Kitty coffee with their Hello Kitty jam box and their Hello Kitty toast.
Yeah. All right. So,
see, I'm not the only one.
No. No, I'm just...
I'm not alone.
I'm not too old to admit. Well, I'm too old to like Hello Kitty, but I don't care.
Same here. Exactly. I'm, you know, too old to like most of the stuff I like, I think, but... can you do?
Yeah, whatever. All right, so the grand finale, will you please give us your very best pirate impression?
Pirate impression? Okay, I'm just going to warn you right now, my very best is going to be very poor. Arr!
Excellent.
You're a good sport.
So bad.
You did the pirate impression. I have people refuse to do it.
So you know who would do an awesome one?
Who?
It would be Steven. Because that guy, he's... Well, you guys have interviewed him, right?
Yeah, but he told us the story about...
did he tell you the story about...
Fear of Pirates or some pirate band thing. Now, I can't remember the name of the band.
Did he ever tell you the story about walking the plank?
No.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's this buddy of his that he used to hang out with, like, right out of high school, I guess. At some point, they made up pirate names for each other, and they, you know, they hadn't seen each other in a few years, and they ran into each other at a stroke show, like... I don't know, like 4 years ago. It was soon after Steven had gotten, you know, had quit heroin, and he'd come back here for the first time just kind of to, you know, get his stuff and figure out kind of what was going on. And so he ran into, you know, his old buddy in you know, in Houston at the stroke show, and he couldn't remember, you know, and he comes up and is like, "Arr, Jagged Eyes," or whatever his pirate name was, and Steven's like, "Yeah, hello," and he couldn't remember it, so his penalty was that he had to walk the plank, which means that he had to give the guy $20. That guy took that $20, went to the bar, made whatever concoction he wanted, and Steven had to drink it.
Oh.
So I sometimes, just for funsies, if my friends are getting out of control at a bar, it's like, that's it, you're walking a plank. Give me $20.
I have to try that sometime. But I can tell you Steven's pirate name, so you can go call him that when you see him. He was Pirate Blackhead.
Pirate Blackhead, yes, that's right. I remember that now.
Will you do one thing? You say hello to Horton. You know Horton, don't you?
Oh, yes. From They Came From the Stars, I saw them. Oh, hello, Horton. Thanks for sending your new record. I can't wait to check it out. Ah, Pirate Blackhead.